Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I've Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy Thursday, fam.
Happy Thursday to you and the fam as well.
Yeah, so quick warning at the beginning. If we are opening beers and or something that seems fun or flavorful, like a wine or something, we probably are going to do some, not specifically like throughout, just a one good time of the ASMR of me opening up the beverage. So if that bothers you, you may want to skip when I say I'm about to open my drink.
Yeah.
Just to go and put that in there.
Do a, like a pause, like
yes,
a dramatic
yes.
pause.
We'll give you a minute. Skip 15 seconds. And then we'll start.
Wow, 15.
I don't know, because on the little listening things,
oh, okay,
like, there's
you,
a 15 second
that,
skip
that makes
over.
More sense than
okay.
like, it's going to take you 15 seconds to open a beer.
No. You know, you can do the automatic skip over.
Got you.
Come on, Annie. I don't know what it's called, but it's that thing on the thing. This is a good happy hour,
perfectly
y'all.
Perfectly clear.
But yes, today we are going to talk more about women and breweries and beer. And we're going to talk about the wonderfully crafted beer from Free Will Brewing, the Ollie beer. O-L-L-Y, if you are wondering. So I'm now opening the beer, which by the way, it's corked because it's a bottled beer. So hold on a second.
And also, as always, currently, we are not sponsored by who we're talking about. And also drink responsibly if you're choosing to have an alcoholic beverage, because we always say whatever you want will help relax you. That's what we want for you.
And it doesn't harm anybody? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So today, as we said, we're drinking Ollie beer, and it is actually from the creator of Hannah Godey. But before we start, Annie,
yes.
How did you get into beer? Or did you, maybe?
No. This is actually a very funny to me, answer. So as you know, Samantha, I am a fan, also not a sponsor, of Coors Light. And in my family, in my mom's side of the family, there's sort of, she has three siblings, so there's four of them. Two of them prefer Corona Light, two of them prefer Coors Light. So I grew up like with my mom drinking Coors Light and kind of being involved in my family where, you know, at a certain age, like 16, they're like, you want to try this Coors Light? And I liked it immediately. There was never, because most of my friends had that like period where they would say, I don't like beer. And I believe them because beer can be a very strong flavor for if you've never had anything like it. But I never went through that period. I did have like, I don't like IPAs or something maybe, but I've just, for as long as probably, 16. And yes, it is underage. But I also, like, I think because of that, I didn't get in trouble drinking. Like, I didn't go out drinking. That was not, like, my thing. But occasionally, my mom would be like, do you want a Coors Light? And I'm like, yep.
And just put it in there. We're not encouraging underage drinking.
No. I was always supervised with my mom, who is the best. So it was a good time. But yeah, and then my horizon sort of expanded as I moved to a city, went to college, more options. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
So I did not start drinking until way later, mainly because of my own upbringing, as well as being very religious. And in my world, when you're religious, all alcohol is bad. So mm-hmm. I was a very good person in that I kept with my...
And I
was
a bad person?
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. In that I was absolutely afraid of alcohol in general. So I didn't actually start drinking until I think it was like 22. And I started with wine. I actually also like the taste of beer. So that's never been a thing for me. I thought it's always tasted nice and weedy. And I like that bready taste. So yeah, it tasted delicious to me. But I started off drinking brown ales. Like that's how I got into it, and dark ales. And I feel like a lot of people do this. And I started out with Guinness and Newcastle.
Yeah.
And that was mm-hmm. my starter. And then as I slowly understood craft beer, I was like, oh, okay, this is what this is. It took me a long time to get into IPAs. I will say that because it is a whole different taste than that bready lager that you get. And mm-hmm. as I started appreciating that and the beers, and I started understanding what it took to make beers and to create these beers, it's science and this whole level of crafting. Haha. Yeah. It became a whole thing that I was like, okay, I get this. I get it. This is a unique industry and what they're doing, though it is like, you do understand the science and the math and just all of the, you need biology in here, you need chemistry in here and all of that. So that's really fascinating that I'm like, okay, cool. And then as I was working at the brewery here in Atlanta at Orpheus, you know, we were all trying to get the Cicerone certification and understanding that and the depth of what you had to do to be certified to begin with, which I never did. And I really want to finish that out, that I understood how big this was. And as we know, home brewing became a huge thing in the last 10 years, I guess. And I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of people at me and be like, no, I've known it since this time and this time. It is fascinating. It is a whole other level. And I love watching women who have become huge parts of the home brewing world and home brewing industry and seeing that and how they truly are gifted when it comes to understanding the palate of beer. And Hannah Godey is one of those who did that, who has started with being a home brewer and dabbling with her friends or dabbling with her brothers in her garage and getting things together, to really loving the beer culture and what it has done for her as someone who loves beer. And she worked at Free Will Brewing, which is located in Pennsylvania. Again, another shout out to Jason from Orpheus, who helped me get these beers. And the brewery is fantastic. I think they have 2 locations now. And the original one is in Pennsylvania. But she helped create this sour brown ale, which has been barrel aged for up to 5 years with a lot of good dark plum and currant notes. It's quite delicious. It actually won a silver medal for the 2018 World Beer Cup. So yummy. And award-winning. Yeah. Who doesn't love that?
I love it, so not.
So actually, Hannah went on and is now the head brewer of Naked Brewing, which we're going to have to hit that up. I'm going to have to find some connection because I need that. I need that beer. But she did start her, I guess, actual career with Free Will as a brewer / event coordinator, which happens a lot. A lot of the women get like dual roles, I've seen. Not just one thing. There are many things. I've seen that a lot. And she created this beautifully crafted beer. She, again, like I said, she's an obvious seasoned brewer. And like many others, loved the technicality of crafting and creating these different types of beers. And she talked about how she does love sours. At first, it's like a little complicated because you watch and make sure that these yeasts are cultured properly and how it affects flavor with the way mm-hmm. it's grown or whether it's stored. And I know we learned about, and you came to a class that was hosted at the brewery that I worked at, our Meet Cute, which if you haven't seen the picture, is on our Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Where I was serving her beer, didn't know who she was.
Yep.
Didn't know at that point in time that she would change my life.
That's right.
They had a whole session about crafting sour beers and the science behind it. And of course, they had their biologist who was there and taught them a lot about the different yeasts and the specific mother yeast that was locked up at a school because they had to protect the recipe. Like it's a whole thing.
Yeah. I love it. Well, obviously, I was at that class for fun.
Many more.
Yeah. And I love, like, the mother yeast sounds so cool. And right. I love that sour beers in particular. There's definitely a science and a way to manufacture a product consistently that is the same. But it's also kind of the Wild West of, like, depending on where you are and the yeast and bacteria in the air. Like when I did that video with Orpheus, they were talking about, like, you're tasting Piedmont Park. Like, whatever Piedmont right. Park has to offer is a part of this beer. And so you can't quite control things like that. And that no. makes it really fascinating to me.
Right. Which also can kind of be problematic when you're trying to do quality control.
Yes,
if you
exactly.
don't already have that, or if it gets ruined somehow, it takes yep. a whole different turn. And I do also love learning about the hops and the different industries that come into play. At one point, they were talking about the fact that hops were worth more than gold. Because it was yep. so, it was in such demand. So stuff like that really is fascinating anyway. But having female brewers come in and taking control and being a part of something that has been recently so male-dominated and taken to a whole other level is a beautiful thing. So first of all, good job, Hannah. Cheers to you for an amazing
Cheers.
Beer. This is, and by the way, so we were going to give our own little notes in my own opinion, what this tastes like. This is an amazing beer. It's smooth and it's tart, but sweet. And it leaves a sweet, like, caramel aftertaste. It's a very smooth mouthfeel. It's almost like I've just sucked on a Werther's Original, which is one of my favorite candies, by the way. I love it.
Truth.
But the aftertaste is like I just finished one of those. It is surprising. I was not ready for that. And it's so tasty. One bottle is not enough. It is a mine.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with everything you said. And I when you said the, like, coating and that mouthfeel, it just clicked. Like, yes, that's exactly what I'm experiencing. And that is one of the things that stood out about this beer to me, was that it was a very unique texture and mouthfeel in my personal beer experience.
Right.
Like, listening to that, you might think that sounds heavy, but it really wasn't heavy uh-huh. at all. It was light. And refreshing.
Right. So in their own description, it says it's with a malty undertones and a pleasantly sour finish. And it is definitely one of those where I've had different sours, obviously. Like, there are so many to be offered and so many different kinds, and I love it. But this was one that didn't leave me as with the acidity aftertaste that kind of mm-hmm. lingers. It didn't leave that, which was right. different too. And I loved it. And don't get me wrong, I love sours.
Yeah.
This one was so different that I was like, I can drink this after a meal and feel like it's kind of a dessert.
Right. It's very unique like that, because I think that if you had explained this to me where it's like got these like caramel notes but is also a sour beer and is tart, I would have been like, that doesn't sound like a combination that makes sense to me. But it works. It absolutely works.
Yeah. So thank you, Hannah, for such a great and delicious beer. And I can't wait to actually get my hands on your newest beers at Naked Brewing. And for those who have already gone there, who know people there, tell them we said hello and good job.
And they'll be like, who?
That's true.
Are these creepers?
It's true.
Yeah. So cheers. Thanks for joining us, everybody. As always, if you have any people you want us to spotlight in the beverage industry, any drinks, alcoholic or not, cocktails, non-alcoholic cocktails, send them our way. The quest for the Sminty themed cocktail is ongoing, and also Star Wars cocktails I always appreciate. So if you would like to send those to us, you can. Our email is stephaniamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can also find us on Instagram @StuffOneNeverToldYou or on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina.
Cheers, Christina.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. This episode is brought to you by Pedigree.
If you've been looking for love at first sight, it is closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide.
Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.